It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Well, the leaks are real. You're the one that wrote about them and reported them. I mean, the leaks are real. You know what they said. You saw it. And the leaks are absolutely real. The news is fake because so much of the news is fake. So one thing that I felt it was very important to do, and I hope we can correct it, because there's nobody I have more respect for, well, maybe a little bit, but than reporters, than good reporters. It's very important to me, and especially in this position. It's very important. I don't mind bad stories. I can handle a bad story better than anybody, as long as it's true. And, you know, over a course of time, I'll make mistakes and you'll write badly, and I'm okay with that. But I'm not okay when it is fake. I mean, I watch CNN, it's so much anger and hatred and just the hatred. I don't watch it anymore because it's very good. He's saying no. It's okay, Jim. It's okay, Jim. You'll have your chance. But I watch others, too. You're not the only one, so don't feel badly. But I think it should be straight. I think it should be. I think it would be, frankly, more interesting. I know how good everybody's ratings are right now, but I think that'd actually be better. People, I mean, you have a lower approval rate than Congress. I think that's right. I don't know, Peter, is that one right? Because, you know, I think they have lower than Congress. But honestly, the public would appreciate it. I'd appreciate it. Again, I don't mind bad stories when it's true.
All right, so that's part of what happened in Donald Trump's press conference yesterday. It was almost 2 hours long. It was pretty amazing. This is Sandy Rios in the Morning, by the way. And if you didn't have a chance to see it, as I was watching it yesterday, I thought, you know, a lot of outlets they're going to pick a soundbite, and that's what people are going to hear. But it was an amazing interaction between President Donald Trump and the press. It was amazing. What can I say? In fact, as a matter of fact, before I get into this, we'll post the whole thing on our Facebook page so that you can watch it. It's, trust me, you won't be bored. And I think that you'll find it encouraging. Why? Because do we not know that the press is in a frenzy right now trying to destroy this president? Do we not like instinctively know that? You know, Chuck Todd was there and he was very upset. So he was tweeting while the president was coming after the press. And he said, basically, it's un-American for the president to delegitimize the press. He says, this is not a laughing matter. I'm sorry. Delegitimizing the press is un-American. And another tweet, he said, press bashing may feel good to folks, but when it's done by people in power, it's corrosive. Take off your partisan hats for a second. Well, you know what? Chuck is actually right if the press were faithful reporters of the truth. But they are not. And we know they are not. And I just picked up a story this morning, just to give you an example. I was reading in Bloomberg about something. It was about the slow pace which Congress is actually doing anything right now. And that's a whole different story that I probably will get into at some later date. They're doing the Do Nothing Congress. It's kind of what's happening. And things have just slowed down to a halt over there, and they're taking a break next week. And it's like why are they taking a break? They should be at the helm doing what they need to do, supporting this president. But so far, I don't see much of that. However, that's not what I was going to say. The Bloomberg piece is about that. Okay, but in the middle of the Bloomberg piece, here's a subheading. Sinking polls. Meanwhile, any further worsening in Trump's approval ratings risks fraying prospects of unity in the party going forward. Trump entered office on January 20th as the first elected president in the Gallup poll's history to see an initial job approval rating below a majority, with just 45% of Americans approving of the way he was handling his job. It's only dropped since. The new president's approval rating was just 41% as of Tuesday, according to the poll. By comparison, Obama's rating was 64% around the same point in his presidency. So that is the report from there. But then you pick up this other story. Rasmussen, daily tracking poll for Thursday, shows that 55% of likely United States voters approve of President Trump's job performance. 45% disapprove, but 55% approve. 47% believe America's intelligence agencies have their own political agenda. Almost half, 48%, believe most reporters are biased against the president. Only 12% think they are biased for Trump. 31% feel most reporters try to be fair and balanced. And remember that 30%, that's kind of been the standard figure for a long time. 30% of Americans are pretty liberal. They consider themselves liberal. 30% are very conservative, and 30% in that mushy middle. That's at least the way it has been. But my point is that Bloomberg blatantly says that Donald Trump's polls are falling, it's sinking polls, and that's Bloomberg. So this is the reason why, I would argue, people don't trust the press. They don't trust the press not just because of what Donald Trump has said, but because they can see that what they are saying, what they are repeating, does not comport with the reality of what they're seeing. So I want to go through the press conference yesterday, because I'm guessing that because you have busy lives, you know, you have to take care of your families and work, that you missed a lot of it. And so I'm guessing, and I thought you might enjoy hearing some of it. So we're going to start with some clips, and then we're going to open the phone lines for those of you. In fact, I'll give the number now. If you saw something that really struck you or you have a comment about it, our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. This was the opening statement of President Donald Trump yesterday. Let's listen. Cut one.
I'm here today to update the American people on the incredible progress that has been made in the last 4 weeks since my inauguration. We have made incredible progress. I don't think there's ever been a president elected who in this short period of time has done what we've done. A new Rasmussen poll, in fact, because the people get it. Much of the media doesn't get it. They actually get it, but they don't write it. Let's put it that way. But a new Rasmussen poll just came out just a very short while ago, and it has our approval rating at 55% and going up. The stock market has hit record numbers, as you know, and there has been a tremendous surge of optimism in the business world, which is, to me, means something much different than it used to. It used to mean, oh, that's good. Now it means that's good for jobs. Very different. Plants and factories are already starting to move back into the United States, and big league Ford, General Motors, so many of them. I'm making this presentation directly to the American people with the media present, which is an honor to have you.
Okay, so that's how he started. And the point is that he was going beyond their ability to filter and spin what was happening and speaking to the American people. And that is indeed what he did. Now, that was kind of a nice, calm beginning. But boy, when I started to say, when he opened the phone lines, well, you could say, when he opened the phone lines, then sparks began to fly. Because, of course, the media, this has been happening since my earliest memory of this was the Nixon administration. Before Nixon, the press asked really good, solid questions about substantive issues, and they inherently respected the commander-in-chief. Nixon was the first president where the press turned on him, and you may think because all you knew from your textbooks was because of Watergate. It was much, the vitriol against Nixon went way back to his participation and prosecuting, now the name's going to escape me because I wasn't planning on talking about this, but I don't know if it was Whitaker Chambers, prosecuting someone who had infiltrated the government way back in the 50s, who was a communist. And so even then, we had serious problems of leftists embedded in government and also embedded in the press. And there was such a desire to destroy Richard Nixon, and Watergate was the avenue. And, you know, it's not that he was blameless. I'm not saying that. But it was the avenue in which they destroyed him. But what they did in the process, they didn't just destroy Nixon. They did destroy the presidency. They really did. We used to think, you know, when the president came on television to speak, you know, like time stopped. It was unusual. And you sat and you listened, and what he had to say was important. It was about national security. It was about something, but it was an unusual thing for a president to address the nation. We had an inherent respect for them. Now, you could argue, well, we should have been more skeptical. I don't know, but respect is gone now. And so the press corps sitting in some cases before the president yesterday, you know, wanted to destroy him. That is pretty much what most of them really have in mind. You can tell by the hostile exchanges. You remember it carried over into Reagan, where they used to, Sam Donaldson was disgraceful. And yet he was, you know, hailed as some sort of a hero. And of course the two guys, the Watergate reporters are supposedly heroes because they destroyed Nixon. And that's become kind of the goal of reporters and journalists. It's a gotcha thing. Chris Wallace has that all the time. It's not respectful actually trying to get to the bottom of information. It's can I catch you? And can I embarrass you? Can I destroy you? And if you do that, then that's how you get your gold star. That really needs to change. All right, so Donald Trump stood before those reporters who came in that room really hoping to take him down. But it didn't go their way. And so I want you to hear this. Now, this is going to be a little bit long, Jeff. And so just to delay the break till this clip finishes, this is clip two. The question was, what about General Flynn? You know, the opening statement had nothing to do with General Flynn. And yet, of course, that's the first thing they want to talk about because they've been trying to destroy General Flynn and Donald Trump all week. So here's how he responds. Let's listen.
Mike Flynn is a fine person, and I asked for his resignation. He respectfully gave it. He is a man who there was a certain amount of information given to Vice President Pence, who's with us today. And I was not happy with the way that information was given. He didn't have to do that because what he did wasn't wrong. What he did in terms of the information he saw, what was wrong was the way that other people, including yourselves in this room, were given that information. Because that was classified information, it was given illegally. That's the real problem. And, you know, you can talk all you want about Russia, which was all a, you know, fake news fabricated deal to try and make up for the loss of the Democrats, and the press plays right into it. In fact, I saw a couple of the people that were supposedly involved with all of this, but they know nothing about it. They weren't in Russia. They never made a phone call to Russia. They never received a phone call. It's all fake news. It's all fake news. The nice thing is I see it starting to turn where people are now looking at the illegal, Mara, and I think it's very important, the illegal giving out classified information. It was, and let me just tell you, it was given out like so much. I'll give you an example. I called, as you know, Mexico. It was a very, very confidential, classified call. But I called Mexico. And in calling Mexico, I figured, oh, well, that's nice. I spoke to the president of Mexico, had a good call. All of a sudden, it's out for the world to see. It's supposed to be secret. It's supposed to be either confidential or classified in that case. Same thing with Australia. All of a sudden, people are finding out exactly what took place. The same thing happened with respect to General Flynn. Everybody saw this. And I'm saying, the first thing I thought of when I heard about it is, how does the press get this information that's classified? How do they do it? You know why? Because it's an illegal process. And the press should be ashamed of themselves. But more importantly, the people that gave out the information to the press should be ashamed of themselves. Really ashamed.
All right, that's Donald Trump. We're just getting started. We have a lot of clips to play for you, and I want you to hear what he had to say yesterday. It's important. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
We desperately need the light of the gospel to shatter the darkness that is sweeping through our land.
Evangelist Sammy Tippett for Fusion, the Heart Cry for Revival Conference.
We're asking Christian leaders to join us in seeking God for a mighty work of His Spirit in this critical hour. I've seen God transform entire nations, places like Romania, where God dispelled the darkness of atheism through the prayers of His people. I want to share with you how God did that and what He can do in our nation. So join me at the Heart Cry for Revival Fusion Conference.
Sponsored in part by American Family Association, the Fusion Conference will be April 23rd through the 27th in the Billy Graham Training Center at The Cove in Asheville, North Carolina. Register at heartcryforrevival.org.
In the darkest parts of Mumbai, India's red light districts, all it takes is a little bit of money, and a young girl, maybe as young as 8, is trafficked, her innocence stolen.
They made me sit in one place, and they sent a man near me, and then things started happening in the wrong ways, and I had no way out.
And it was every single day.
Morning, they used to come. Afternoon, they used to come. Evening is the same thing that we used to do. And even if we would express that we were tired or it is hurting us, they would not listen because they have paid a huge amount for us and they would get what they wanted.
But you can make sure it never happens again when you team up with AFR and India Partners. Right here on AFR, we'll show you how your gift of $7.08 provides a day of safety, rescue, and care at a safe house operated by India Partners. So how many children can you rescue? Learn more and give now at AFR.net.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and Commentary next.
Truett McConnell University is training students to love the Lord, love the Word, love the Church, and love the lost. Scripture is the foundation for everything they do. It's who they are, preparing students not just for a career, but to fulfill God's high calling on their lives. Truett McConnell University offers a wide array of bachelor's programs, some online, and they also have an outstanding Master of Arts in Theology. So if you'd like to schedule a visit to Truett's campus in the North Georgia Mountains, visit truett.edu.
Donald and Ellen Vander Boon own a meatpacking company near Grand Rapids, Michigan. During the Obama administration, the Vander Boons ran afoul of the USDA. It seems they had placed religious material in their company's break room. That literature included items supporting traditional marriage. The USDA called the materials offensive and gave the family an ultimatum: either remove the religious material or they would remove USDA inspectors. Alliance Defending Freedom is a law firm specializing in religious liberty cases. They are representing the Vander Boons, and they are calling on President Trump to sign an executive order protecting religious freedom. Attorney Jeremy Tedesco says Americans should not be threatened by the government just for living out their religious beliefs. If President Trump does not issue an executive order, the USDA could remove its inspectors, and 45 people will be out of work. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Yes, we're looking at them very, very, very seriously. I've gone to all of the folks in charge of the various agencies, and I've actually called the Justice Department to look into the leaks. Those are criminal leaks. They're put out by people either in agencies. I think you'll see it stopping because now we have our people in. You know, again, we don't have our people in because we can't get them approved by the Senate. We just had Jeff Sessions approved in justice, as an example. So we are looking into that very seriously. It's a criminal act. You know what I say? When I was called out on Mexico, I was shocked because all this equipment, all this incredible phone equipment. When I was called out on Mexico, I was really, really surprised. But I said, you know, it doesn't make sense. That won't happen. But that wasn't that important to call. It was fine. I could show it to the world, and he could show it to the world, the president, who's a very fine man, by the way. Same thing with Australia. I said, that's terrible that it was leaked, but it wasn't that important. But then I said to myself, what happens when I'm dealing with the problem of North Korea? What happens when I'm dealing with the problems in the Middle East? Are you folks going to be reporting all of that very, very confidential information, very important, very, you know, I mean, at the highest level. Are you going to be reporting about that too? So I don't want classified information getting out to the public. And in a way, that was almost a test. So I'm dealing with Mexico. I'm dealing with Argentina. We were dealing on this case with Mike Flynn. All this information gets put into the Washington Post and gets put into the New York Times. And I'm saying, what's going to happen when I'm dealing on the Middle East? What's going to happen when I'm dealing with really, really important subjects like North Korea? We got to stop it. That's why it's a criminal penalty.
Does that make sense to anybody? Of course it makes sense. We all understand that. Why doesn't the press understand that? And what is their motive for trying to, for not caring about the security of this country? In fact, Hans von Spakovsky, before the press conference yesterday, put out a piece with the Daily Signal. And he says that one of the most important things that happened that no one talked about with the leaks with General Flynn was the fact that we have now told the Russians and all these foreign governments that we're monitoring every single phone call, that what they say, even to our president, is not private, that everything is monitored. It's illegal, he says, to disclose that. So thank you, press. Thank you. No tears from me for their, you know, tears from me from Chuck Todd to say that the president has delegitimized the press and it's such a tragedy. They have delegitimized themselves. And by the way, let me just tell you that according to Sirica, which is a media outlet, it says that the Department of Justice is now, the light is turning on them in terms of where these leaks came from. There is the FBI is under the jurisdiction of the DOJ and would have access to the documentation. So does DOJ's counter-espionage division. DOJ officials briefed White House officials and other elements of the intelligence community that also expanded to a potential pool of people that could leak, including the NSA and the CIA. We know that 9 different people have been identified, at least sources, have been identified from agencies of leaking this classified telephone call. And there will be investigations. They're starting them already. Jason Chaffetz has started. But not only that, I have to tell you, the Judicial Watch is all over this, too. They are subpoenaing information on the interactions with the Trump transition team, and they are giving them a time-certain deadline to respond or they're going to sue. So there's going to be some flesh here, we hope. You know, I don't mean literally, for those of you who are listen and monitor the show. But there will be some price that will have to be paid for this. And by the way, there was an article from CNN this morning about Senator Jeff Sessions' team taking over Washington. Of course, they don't have good things to say about it, but he is putting his people in place all over the place, and they are quaking. So Jeff Sessions is now installed as Attorney General, and I think we're going to see a lot of things taking place. But all right, back to Donald Trump. He goes back to talking about the leaks and the involvement, the alleged, the fake news involvement of Russia. It's not that Russia's not doing anything bad. Please let me make that clear. It's not that Russia wouldn't hack or leak or do whatever they could. They are not, you know, they're not our buddies. But this has been so overblown that it's got the Congress stalled. And that's what the left wants. Anything, any kind of a cog in the wheel, anything to slow down the real agenda or even cover the real stories of all the horrible things that Barack Obama and the Democratic Congress, with the cooperation of the feckless Republicans, put on the American people. No discussion of that. Oh, let's talk about the Russians who are supposedly, you know, caused Donald Trump to win and the Russians who supposedly caused Hillary Clinton to lose, and on and on and on it goes. And Michael Flynn, this terrible person who called the Russian ambassador a month before he's supposed to be the national security advisor to the president. How awful. It's not awful. It was his job to do that. I agree with President Trump on that. All right, so let's listen to President Trump, not Sandy Rios. Cut 5.
I have nothing to do with Russia. I told you. I have no deals there. I have no anything. Now, when WikiLeaks, which I had nothing to do with, comes out and happens to give, they're not giving classified information. They're giving stuff what was said in an office about Hillary cheating on the debates, which, by the way, nobody mentions. Nobody mentions that Hillary received the questions to the debates. Can you imagine, seriously, can you imagine if I received the questions? It would be the electric chair.
okay? He should be put in the electorate. You would even call for the reinstitution of the death penalty, okay?
All right, so then he goes on to talk about John Podesta, whose email were, you know, a veritable fountain, a gift to him, certainly, in the election, because Podesta's email contained all kinds of collusion with the press, collusion with the Clinton Foundation. It was just amazing, and you could argue that the WikiLeaks did put the nail in the coffin for Hillary Clinton. I agree with that, but WikiLeaks is not connected to Russia. At least Julian Assange says it is not. And I think from the sources that I have read and studied, it is not. All right. So, but, you know, in the murky, dark world that happens there, no one can say anything for certain, to be honest. It's just, it's a double game all the time, or a triple or a quadruple. It's very hard to track it. But here is here's Donald Trump on Podesta and Hillary. Let's listen.
In one case, you're talking about highly classified information. In the other case, you're talking about John Podesta saying bad things about the boss. I will say this. If John Podesta said that about me and he was working for me, I would have fired him so fast your head would have spun. He said terrible things about her. But it wasn't classified information. But in one case, you're talking about classified. Regardless, if you look at the RNC, we had a very strong, at my suggestion, and I give Reince great credit for this, at my suggestion, because I know something about this world, I said, I want a very strong defensive mechanism. I don't want to be hacked. And we did that. And you have seen that they tried to hack us and they failed. The DNC did not do that. And if they did it, they could not have been hacked. But they were hacked and terrible things came in. And, you know, the only thing that I do think is unfair is some of the things were so, they were, when I heard some of those things, I picked up the papers the next morning. I said, oh, this is going to be front page. Wasn't even in the papers. Again, if I had that happen to me, it would be the biggest story in the history of publishing or the head of newspapers. I would have been the headline in every newspaper. I mean, think of it. They gave her the questions to a debate, and she should have reported herself. Why didn't Hillary Clinton announce that, I'm sorry, but I have been given the questions to a debate or a town hall, and I feel that it's inappropriate, and I want to turn in CNN for not doing a good job.
All right, so that's kind of a bit. Oh, listen, it got really interesting when the reporters went back and forth, and we're going to put it on our Facebook page so you can watch the whole thing. But let me take a little bit of a break here and go to the phones. Let's go to Craig in Illinois. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
Good, thanks.
All right, so what's on your mind?
So I was originally, a Cruz supporter and then changed to Trump. But so my question really is, you know, 6 months ago, Trump said, I'm going to prosecute Hillary for what she did with Servergate. And I was all for that. Then he wins the election and backs off that. So my thing is that he has a problem with the intelligence and is saying that these people are undermining him. Well, if he holds Hillary to account and does what he said he was going to do and does what he should do by law, then he's not going to have a problem with everybody else in the intelligence community, because they're going to say, okay, the people at the top are going to fall. People at the top are going to be held account. The people at the top are going to be held to law. The same thing's going to happen to me. So if it happens to the person at the top, it's going to happen to me. So it all comes down to the fact that Trump needs to do what he said, what he was going to do in the beginning, and hold her to account and prosecute her. And I think a lot of this stuff is going away if that really happens. So anyway, you're talking about that.
All right, so make an example by duly prosecuting Hillary Clinton. I guess, Craig, that's a really interesting thought. I think I think she should be prosecuted. So don't misunderstand my next statement. I'm thinking out loud with you. The thing about it is, presidents have to consider a lot of things, not just what should be done, but also just remember that the country is divided. Think about all those people that are just organizing to destroy him. Hillary Clinton supporters, the Women's March, and all of that. And so maybe he feels, I don't know, I don't know, maybe he feels that going after Hillary would, right now, would be even more polarizing, would make the opposition even more violent, would give them some reason to increase their aggression at a time when we don't need that. And that doesn't mean he wouldn't prosecute her later. I don't know. I don't know, but I'm just wondering. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it makes sense. I don't know. My thing is that you break the law, you pay the price. That's my thing.
I'm with you, too. It just may be a matter of timing. I don't want him to let her off. I don't. I really don't. She and her husband both need to be prosecuted for what they, the Clinton Foundation especially, taking the national treasury and actually using it to their benefit, their positions. It's criminal what they have done. And I agree with you, Craig. Justice needs to be done in that. But maybe the timing's not right for that. I don't know, but we'll just have to wait and see. Thanks for your comments. Let's go to Carol in Texas. Good morning, Carol.
Hi, Sandy. You are our voice of reason in the morning from 7 to 8, let me tell you. My husband and I both listen to you. Our church is just so, up to telling the truth. And I told your screener that what I was most impressed with was how he handled the press. And, he calls them out. And he has the opportunity to really get the truth out with their questions because he turns it back on them. And that's real impressive. I'm kind of like your last caller. We supported Ted Cruz, but I don't think that Cruz would have been able to do what Donald Trump, in my opinion, will be able to do. And you are the voice of reason for us. We only listen to Fox News, and I don't, go along with some of the people that are on Fox News. We just listen to a few of them because we need the truth. And I just thank God for you.
Oh, thanks, Carol. That's very sweet. And I do. Everybody has to be discerning. Listen, there are a lot of, they're not a lot. There are some good sources out there, and we have to find them, and then we have to know, as I said before, some people are good on some things and not trustworthy on other things. And you have to learn that and learn, who to trust on certain things. And there may be some weaknesses in me. I do my best to be honest, really, about everything. It is my goal to do that. But I'm sure I have some blind spots or some areas where I'm softer than I should be. I don't know. But you can figure those out and then realize that maybe I have a soft spot, whatever that might be. But we need to be discerning. That's the point. People have the ability to pick out the truth and discern it, and we have to do that. Thanks a lot, Carol. Let's play this next clip because, and this is going to take us a little late too, Jeff, but not too late. Let's play the clip where he talks about CNN and how bad they really are. Let's listen.
The public isn't, they read newspapers, they see television, they watch. They don't know if it's true or false because they're not involved. I'm involved. I've been involved with this stuff all my life. But I'm involved. So I know when you're telling the truth or when you're not. I just see many, many untruthful things. And I'll tell you what else I see. I see tone, the word tone. The tone is such hatred. I'm really not a bad person, by the way. No, but the tone is such, I do get good ratings, you have to admit that. The tone is such hatred. I watched this morning a couple of the networks, and I have to say, Fox and Friends in the morning, they're very honorable people. They're very, not because they're good, because they hit me also when I do something wrong, but they have the most honest morning show. That's all I can say. It's the most honest. But the tone, Jim, if you look, the hatred, sometimes somebody gets, well, you look at your show that goes on at 10 o'clock in the evening. You just take a look at that show. That is a constant hit. The panel is almost always exclusive anti-Trump. The good news is he doesn't have good ratings. But the panel is almost exclusive anti-Trump. And the hatred and venom coming from his mouth. The hatred coming from other people on your network. Now, I will say this. I watch it. I see it. I'm amazed by it. And I just think you'd be a lot better off. I honestly do. The public gets it, Look, when I go to rallies, they turn around, they start screaming at CNN. They want to throw their placards at CNN, I think you would do much better by being different. But you just take a look. Take a look at some of your shows in the morning and the evening. If a guest comes out and says something positive about me, it's brutal.
All right, so that's Donald Trump. And you can only hear him talking. I wish you could hear. It was hard to hear the reporter, so we didn't have that part. But you can if you watch the YouTube clip of it, which we put on our Facebook page this morning. I think that you will enjoy it, and you'll be encouraged by it. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
How would you describe your health care? If you're like most Americans these days, the word affordable isn't top of mind. Well, here's some good news. There's actually a trusted health care option that is affordable. It's called MediShare. Unlike insurance, MediShare is Christian health care sharing, a community of more than 200,000 believers across America who share each other's medical expenses. It's about half the cost of insurance, and it's fully acceptable under the law. And here's the best part. Because MediShare is based on biblical principles, you never pay for things that go against your beliefs. MediShare is affordable health care for Christians.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your health care. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical health care. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
American Family Association invites you to Fusion, a Heart Cry for Revival conference. It's a trying time for our nation, and we urge Christian leaders to join us as we seek Christ together. We'll learn, pray, and strategize for action. Join us April 23rd through the 27th at the Billy Graham Training Center at The Cove in Asheville, North Carolina. Register at heartcryforrevival.org.
You would not stop talking about stealing just because you know people who are in your congregation who have stolen.
Janet Mefford.
That's where we get it all twisted in our minds, because we are treating certain sins as different from others. And in God's mind, sin is sin. You're not condemning people simply because you're talking about sin. It's not the sin that will go to hell, right? It's going to be the person who goes to hell apart from Christ. Join me for Janet Mefford Live, weekdays at noon Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, I'm Ed Vitagliano, co-host of Today's Issues each weekday morning on American Family Radio. I'm also Executive Vice President of American Family Association, the parent ministry of AFR. I just want to welcome the many new listeners to the AFR family as we have expanded into several new areas over the past 6 months. Who pays for AFR to stay on the air, you might be asking? Well, the answer is simple. AFR depends on our listeners to make financial contributions so that we can keep our radio stations on the air. If you appreciate the news, talk, information, and inspiration that you receive from AFR each day, we ask that you remember us financially when funds allow. You can make a donation at AFR.net or by calling 800-FAMILIES extension 2. That's AFR.net or 800-FAMILIES. Please keep us in your prayers as we continue to impact America for Christ.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Donald Trump is under assault from all quarters. Intelligence community leaders, the left, the Islamists, the media, the establishment Republicans. They're piling on with mutually reinforcing narratives accusing his new administration of selling out to the Russians, untrustworthiness, incompetence, and dysfunctionality. Having taken out National Security Advisor Mike Flynn, such forces are now working hard to destroy others close to the president and, in due course, the commander-in-chief himself. We dodged a bullet yesterday when Admiral Bob Harward apparently demanded a free hand as General Flynn's successor to staff the National Security Council with even those openly hostile to Mr. Trump. Thank heavens that didn't fly. Mr. Trump and America need, as our National Security Advisor, an individual of unquestioned integrity, competence, vision, loyalty, and success in the worst of firefights. Heroic, retired Lieutenant General William Jerry Boykin fits the bill. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Boy, I have to jump in and say I agree with Frank on that commentary just now. I think we dodged a bullet with Harwood. We talked about him a little bit yesterday. And I told you, listen, this is just speculation on my part. I'm not declaring anything, but I know he grew up in Iran, and that bothered me. But there are other things about him. So he is not General Boykin. And so, yeah, I'm with Frank. I think General Boykin would be a great, wise, reliable, honest, wonderful person to be speaking into the president's ear. And I'll be lobbying for that in any way that I can. By the way, for those of you who have helped us with India Partners, you know, you guys are amazing. We have surpassed our goal amazingly. We have been able to provide 20,745 days of safety for these little girls at $7 a piece. But we you know, just because we met our goal doesn't mean there are no girls that can be helped by your donations. So I'm hoping that you will still call if you haven't. And call 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. And make your most generous donation. This is our last day. This is your last chance. 877-616-2396. Okay, back to the presser. Trump then spoke up yesterday about what the headlines might be like tomorrow. Oh, let me just tell you what the headlines were, a couple of them that I know. It was reported that Trump was unhinged yesterday, just unhinged. Politico reported that he was on a rant. Now, this all happened, you know, after President Trump said this. Let's listen.
Now, they'll take this news conference. I'm actually having a very good time, okay? But they'll take this news conference. Don't forget, that's the way I won. Remember, I used to give you a news conference every time I made a speech, which was like every day. Okay? No, that's how I won. I won with news conference and probably speeches. I certainly didn't win by people listening to you people, that's for sure. But I'm having a good time. Tomorrow they will say, Donald Trump rants and raves at the press. I'm not ranting and raving. I'm just telling you. You know, you're dishonest people. But, I'm not ranting and raving. I love this. I'm having a good time doing it. But tomorrow the headlines are going to be, Donald Trump rants and raves. I'm not ranting and raving.
All right, and then he goes on. Probably the funniest comment of the day was this one.
I'm changing it from fake news, though.
Doesn't that undermine...
Very fake news.
I know, but aren't you...
I'm changing it from fake news to very fake news. But the irony of it, that was funny. But they laughed. They know. They know what they're doing. And so then a serious comment about fake news. Then I'm going to go back to the phone lines. He explains why fake news is so serious. Let's listen.
The false reporting by the media, by you people, the false, horrible, fake reporting makes it much harder to make a deal with Russia. And probably Putin said, you know, he's sitting behind his desk and he's saying, you know, I see what's going on in the United States. They follow it closely. It's going to be impossible for President Trump to ever get along with Russia because of all the pressure he's got with this fake story, okay? And that's a shame, because if we could get along with Russia, and by the way, China and Japan and everyone, if we could get along, it would be a positive thing, not a negative thing.
All right, so I'm going to go to the phone lines now. Now, for those of you waiting online, if you just think about the most important thing you have to share, and that way I can get more calls in the limited time that we have here. First, let's go to Virginia. Kevin, you're up. What's on your mind?
Good morning, my hero. I just wanted to say, the thing I love about Donald Trump is I don't need commentators for the next 45 minutes to tell me what he just said, like we did with Barack Obama and the other guys. I can understand Trump. I know exactly what he means. He says what he means, and that's it, period. So we don't have to go through the filter of all the, you know, the people sitting at the tables telling us what we just heard.
Oh, that's a great point, Kevin. Excellent point. Let's go to Marty in Iowa.
One word was patriotism. The word patriotism, and we do have a president who loves this country. And even in our local media, whether the local syndicates of ABC, NBC, CBS, I've called them. I refuse to listen to them. The only one I trust is the meteorologist, and he's wrong 50% of the time. And all I'm getting at is that they hate this country, and if you parallel it with what went on with Hitler, he used the media to do heinous things that were allowed to happen to the Jewish people. and others who were against him. And it is the same with this media. I refuse to listen to it, and I know that there is no godliness involved in our media, whatever. And that's what's so beautiful about AFR or bot radio. I, you know, 99% of the things you people say I agree with, but who am I? I'm not God either. The thing is that we can find out what the truth is, and we need to stand up for this American president. And I just encourage everyone, call your local syndicated media. They're worthless. They want to portray, and they're just reading off a screen. They don't have a genuine thought in their head. And that would be my one point I'd like to make.
Marty, that, excellent. You know, let me just interject. I alluded to this earlier, but because there's so many younger listeners, it needs to be said that in the 60s and the 70s, we had three networks, and we got to know the newsmen well. They were like Walter Cronkite, and that's the way it is. You know, we listened to the news every night. We trusted them, and we found out years later. I know this especially because when I worked at CWA, we did a video, complete video on the history of Roe versus Wade, and found out that Walter Cronkite was a total leftist. That when he reported every night the number of coat hanger abortions is this number, it was completely fabricated. We know that because the doctor, the abortionist who converted to believing life was sacred, Bernard Nathanson. I sat across and talked to him. He said that he was part of the inner circle of the abortion lovers who created those stories and made up those numbers. They handed them to Walter Cronkite. Walter Cronkite reported them, and he says he was America's trusted voice. Everyone believed Walter Cronkite. It was the same thing with the body bags out of Vietnam. There were so many body bags. He reported that every night because he was anti-war. He hated the war. And this is what it wasn't just Walter Cronkite. I'm picking on him. I know more particulars about him. We found out that the press then was not trustworthy. And I have to say, as a young person, I knew that. I knew something was wrong. I could tell it was not right. It did not make sense. It was very upsetting. But there was no other source of news. And we were stuck. It reminds me now of the old Soviet Union, who all they had was, the people had Pravda. They had, you know, they had constant propaganda and no news. But they knew also that something was not right. They just didn't know what it was. And so we've got to turn this thing around, Marty, and I appreciate your comments on that. Let's go to Shirley in Tennessee. Good morning, Shirley.
Good morning, Sandy. I tell you, my pastor told me when Trump first was elected that if he did not know Christ, he'd know it when these people finished bothering him and getting on his nerves. I've got to tell you, I prayed for Trump, and I'm asking everybody to pray for Trump because I personally don't feel like calling the media would do any, the syndicated media would do any good because they're Hollywood operated. I think everybody needs to shut TV off, and then they'll hear you quite well when their ratings go to zero. Secondly, I believe that I'll be glad when Trump gets to understand that the devil does not love him and the media, and these people are demon possessed. I truly believe that. And I understand why some governments shut the media down, the syndicated media. And once we put out some of the illegals, I think that this is going to really help with this news leaks. I think that maybe we should make these billionaires who are paying for these marches and the Clinton and the Obamas to send him up a little mini White House downtown Washington. I think all of them should just pay for the news media to be able to keep going because we should defund them in our government. And I think I pray that Donald Trump will give Flynn another assignment or maybe another chance somewhere. And I'm just praying that God will intervene because these people are demon possessed. And what they're doing is no shock to us who know the Lord. That's what the devils do. They lie. They create stories. So I feel like we need to pray that God shuts them down. I already have, and I'm believing that the Lord's going to do something. You watch and see. Something's going to happen with these big-time people, and they're not expecting it to come, but Christ is going to intervene and shut them down one way or the other.
Well, in due course, that's surely going to be true for all, because righteousness will prevail. We just don't know the timeline. But speaking of Shirley, hey, Shirley, thanks a lot. It's always great to hear from you. Hey, let me just share. She mentioned refugees, and I want to interject this story. CNS News reported this morning that 60% of the refugee arrivals since the judge halted Trump's order come from five of the terror-prone countries. 2,567 refugees have been settled since Judge Robart's order, 66% from Syria, Iraq, Somalia, Iran, Sudan. And it goes on and on, and there's more. You know, we'll put this actually on our Facebook page because I don't have time to go into all the details, but it's important information for you to read and share. Let's go to Todd in Louisiana. Good morning, Todd.
Thank you for taking my call. What I want to say, Sandy, is we're looking at good versus evil in our world today. And I want to tell you about the Trump situation. As we look at, he won the Electoral College, but as we look at the popular vote, we have an uphill battle against them in four more years. And if we as, you know, Christian conservatives don't stand together, we may have an uphill battle against us. And I think we need to start looking at that. And I'm going to hang up and listen to you.
Okay, thanks. Todd, thanks. You know, he's right about that. And that's why this whole business of illegal voting needs to be harnessed. And I think Jeff Sessions, as Attorney General, is going to go after that. I'm just sure he will. Now, you know he's going to be hindered in every way. There'll be lawsuits. We can already see. We know what's going on. But we need voter ID. We need only U.S. citizens voting. And do not think, I've not had a chance to even address this, but trust me, the people who are watching the numbers in voting on immigration have already uncovered thousands of illegal immigrant votes. And I can't say any more than that. We'll probably do a show on this. But Trump is not wrong. I don't know about the numbers, but he is not wrong that illegal immigrant voting is a serious problem. And I say to you again, if it weren't a serious problem, then why would the left try so hard to fight any kind of voter ID? If they were not using the voter rolls, if they were not doing that, then why are they wanting to bring in so many illegal immigrants? Why did Bill Clinton usher in hundreds of thousands of immigrants to be sworn in as legal citizens right before the election, the year that he was elected, 96, whatever it was? Because they recognize that immigrant voters, legal immigrant voters, vote Democratic because they're there to hand out stuff to them as soon as they finish the pledge. But illegal immigrant voters, better yet, we can get more in faster. So this is a scam on the American people, and we have to stop it. I want you to hear just the closing remarks of Donald Trump because I think they're important. He talks about us being a divided nation. Cut 12.
So you understand, we had a totally divided country for 8 years and long before that, in all fairness to President Obama. Long before President Obama, we have had a very divided. I didn't come along and divide this country. This country was seriously divided before I got here. We're going to work on it very hard.
And this is the closing of his speech, 13.
This isn't Donald Trump that divided a nation. We went 8 years with President Obama, and we went many years before President Obama. We lived in a divided nation. And I am going to try. I will do everything within my power to fix that.
All right. Well, we've had a rough week, you know, because all we've heard is the media. There's been a pause in action in the White House, and so there's been a media frenzy over Flynn. And you see what happens when all we hear is what they say. It is depressing and discouraging because they are not on the side of the American people. And that's what Donald Trump says constantly. He is not a perfect man. He is not our God. Could I please again say that to you? But he is speaking the truth, and that is refreshing. It makes our hearts beat faster. We are tired of lies and being lied to. So we need to pray for him. Do what we can to support him, to hold him accountable for the things that are important, and we'll continue to do that. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.